Our second reading is from 1 Peter 1:22 to 2:3. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. The word of the Lord.
If you have your Bible with you this morning, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We are back in 1 Peter. And all the saints said, Amen. We took two Sundays off for Palm Sunday and Holy Week and Easter. But we're picking up where we left off. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 1 to 3. This Sunday, in 1 Peter, we are dealing with deep things. Deep things. We're dealing with longing. 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 We're dealing with tasting. These three verses carry a lot of weight. And you can feel it as you read them. Listen to it. Peter says, so put away all malice and deceit, hypocrisy and envy and slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you ever tasted that the Lord is good? You ever had that experience? Peter says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. That's what he says in verse 3. It's been my experience that I've tasted of the goodness of the Lord in two very different ways. There have been moments where the goodness of the Lord, the taste of the goodness of the Lord, has caught me unawares. You know what I mean? You are sitting out in a fishing boat all by yourself. There's steam rising up off the cold water, and a wave of the taste of the goodness of the Lord washes over you. Sometimes you may be looking at a photograph of your family, and waves of gratitude wash over you. And you realize, truly, God is good to me. Maybe it catches you unawares when you're pulling into your driveway at night and you're walking toward the front door of your home, and anticipation begins to well up inside you. Because you know that when you open the door, you will be greeted by one of the chief signs of God's love for you, your family. When they smile at you and welcome you home. Sometimes, tasting of the Lord's goodness catches you by surprise. Comes out of nowhere. But more often than not, for me, tasting of the goodness of the Lord comes through discipline. Comes when I get up early in the morning when it's still dark and quiet, and I open His Word and I read. And the words become so much more than black ink on white paper. They pierce into my heart. They speak to me. Words that I've maybe read dozens of times before, and all of a sudden they jump right off the page, and I'm enraptured at the goodness of the taste of the Lord. Have you ever had that experience? Or you're quietly praying where no one else is watching, and you taste His goodness. It envelops you. It washes over you. Have you ever tasted the manifest presence of the Lord? Peter asks, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Just as a side note, there is something of discipline in the Christian life. These moments of tasting of the goodness of the Lord randomly, they happen, but you can't bank on them. You can't bank on them. We as Christians ought to avail ourselves of the means of grace. It's an old phrase. But do you know what I mean by that? You can hope to randomly encounter the taste of the goodness of the Lord. You can just hope to, and some days you will and some days you won't. But I assure you, as you avail yourself of the means of God's grace, you will taste and see that He is good. He's promised so. So discipline yourself. Open your Bible and read it. Set time apart for prayer. Come to church as you do on Sunday morning and worship Him. Receive from the Lord's table. Receive from these means of grace. And taste of His goodness. The psalmist cries out in Psalm 34, verse 8, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, the one, the person who takes refuge in Him." Oh, taste and see that He is good. St. George, as you can taste of His goodness by chance, moment by moment, but the exhortation is there to set it aside as a discipline to taste of the goodness of the Lord. I was studying through this passage in 1 Peter 2, and it struck me in verse 3 that the experience of the goodness of the Lord is not here framed in knowing language. Do you understand what I mean? It's not consider the goodness of the Lord. It's not study and measure the goodness of the Lord. The passage says, have you ever tasted of the goodness of the Lord? You see, it speaks of a deep and visceral understanding. Something that goes beyond your 3.5-pound brain. Tasting of His goodness. Taste goes beyond words. It's like smell. Now, I'm no scientist, but I like to pretend that I am sometimes. They talk about taste and smell connect with the, which part of your brain is it? The hippocampus, I think. The hippocampus, which is a very deep part of you. It's a deep part of your understanding. It's a far deeper part than your language center of your brain. And so when you're dealing with things like taste and smell, it's a deep experience. You know that this is true. Have you ever tried to describe the taste of warm apple pie? Have you ever tried to put it into words? I could tell you how it's comfortingly warm, how it's just the right balance of sweet and tart. I could tell you of the cinnamon taste, and I could tell you of the just barely softened slices of apples. Are you getting hungry yet? But no matter how much I describe it to you, you will never know an apple pie deeply until you taste it. Until you taste it. And see, this is the same with the Lord. This is the same with the Lord. You can read books, you can study, you can consider and ponder His goodness. But until you have tasted, until you have experienced it, it's just a thought. It's just a thought. Peter is a man who has tasted of the goodness of the Lord. He's not writing some academic paper of academic interest. When he writes this letter that we call 1 Peter, he's writing from his own personal experience. And time and again you hear the echoes of his reflections on the time that he spent with Jesus, don't you? You hear it time and again. You can hear in this passage echoes of times when he's reflecting and he's saying, I remember being with the Lord and I remember tasting of His goodness. No doubt Peter remembers that Last Supper, that Passover meal when he gathered together with all of Jesus' other close friends and Jesus broke bread and He blessed wine and He set them apart as a remembrance. And then Jesus stood up from the table and did something. Do you remember what He did? He took off His outer garment. He grabbed a towel and He grabbed a bowl of water. And he walked over to Peter and said, I'm going to wash your feet. At first, Peter rejected it. He pushed him away. He said, it's too much. You cannot do that. But then he tasted of the goodness of the Lord. You see, St. George's, sometimes when we taste of the goodness of the Lord, it seems like too much. It seems like too much. Because we know our own sins and our own fallings. And when he serves us in a lovely way, sometimes we feel unworthy. Just like Peter. Often when we taste of the goodness of the Lord, it's deeply moving and it goes far beyond words. When we taste of the goodness of the Lord, we find that all of our challenges, all of our struggles, all of our trials fade into the background. The volume on all of the chaos gets turned way down. And the fleeting chances and changes of this mortal life, they quiet and go away as we rest upon his changelessness. When you taste of the goodness of the Lord, everything else slips away. Chapter 2, verse 3. Have you ever tasted that the Lord is good? In verse 2, Peter says that we ought to long for the pure spiritual milk. He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Peter tells us that when we have once tasted of the goodness of the Lord, we will long for more. Once you have tasted of his goodness, you will long for more. And he uses a word picture. He says, the picture of your longing for more is like a small infant who longs for the pure milk from his mother's breast. Have you ever seen a hungry baby? Hungry babies are not just passing. Oh yeah, I feel a little hungry, but I can wait. They cry. Because for them, hunger is the end of the world. But imagine it from their perspective, okay? From a baby's perspective, every time they feel hunger, they wonder if this will be the time that they will starve to death. They don't have enough track record to know that their hunger will be satisfied. And so they deeply long for the purest milk. They cry for it. They long for it. I was considering this longing for pure spiritual milk, and I came to realize that longing is really lost on us, isn't it? Isn't it? We suburbanites, we never really long for anything. We live in a world of instant gratification. You know, I don't even have to long for my favorite television shows each week. I either record them and watch them at my convenience, or I just watch them on demand. I remember growing up, I used to long to watch the Dukes of Hazzard. You know, but now I don't even have to long for that. You don't long for anything anymore. Christmas used to be so exciting because I would spend months in advance going through the Sears catalog and circling things that I longed for. Now, whenever I want anything, I just go get it. I just go get it. And so life without longing begins to feel a little empty and cheap. Our experience of everything is cheapened because we don't know how to long for something. We instead have immediate and instant and also fully disposable. They all go hand in hand. We don't know what it is to long for anything anymore. My father was raised with three siblings, and he was raised dirt poor. He says that the poor people used to call them poor. And, you know, he could tell you stories that would make you cry. And he would tell us about, with three siblings, so there were four children, what they did was every fourth Christmas, you would receive the gift. The one gift. that was given to the children every fourth Christmas. And so in an off year, you might get a tangerine, you know, but in every 4 years, you get the big gift. And so those children would long for their turn. Deep, deep longing and desire. Something that, frankly, I can't even understand. I mean, I can glimpse it. I can't grasp that sort of deep longing. What do you long for? Do you long for anything? Do you feel that in your heart? Well, the best window into your longings is to look at the content of your dreams and your imagination. What fills and occupies your dreams and your imagination? That's what you long for. King David said, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That was his longing. He said, I long for one thing. Matthew loves stuffed animals. You know, maybe he's too old, but I think it's cute. And he loves these stuffed animals that you get, that you make. Have you ever seen those? You don't just go to the store and buy them, but they start out as a little shell, an empty hollow shell, and you pick them out, you choose them, like a good Calvinist boy would. And after you've chosen them, you take them to the fluff thing, and they fill them with fluff, and then they put a little heart inside the animal, the stuffed animal, and they sew it up. And so the other day, I was buying him a new stuffed animal, and the lady handed him the heart and said, Matthew, make a wish over this heart before we put it inside the stuffed animal. And so he held it in his hands, and he quieted his heart, and he, okay. And he handed over the heart to the woman, and she tucked it inside the stuffed animal. We filled it up with foam and whatever goes inside there. She sewed it up, and later that night when I was tucking Matthew into bed, I wasn't going to ask, right? I thought, that's his business. But he offered. He offered. He said, Daddy, do you know what I wished for? And I said, no, what's that, Matthew? He said, Daddy, I wished that Jesus would come back soon so that I could see my mummy. You know, the content of your dreams, the content of your imagination, that's what gives you insight into your longings. So my little boy, 9 years old, is longing for the return of the Lord. It's a sad thing, but it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. What do you long for? What do you long for? Peter says, if you have tasted of the goodness of the Lord, you will long for more. Once you taste how good it is, you will long, it'll be your deepest desire, it will be the object of your dreams and your imagination. To taste again and see that the Lord is good. You will find your desires awakened, your emotions lit aflame. After years of numbness, you will come back to life and you will feel your affections drawing you to something in particular. You'll long for the presence of the Lord, the pure spiritual milk. Here's Peter's point. Look at verse 1. He says, so. So is kind of like therefore. It connects what comes with the stuff that came before. And what Peter's saying, he's saying that everything that I'm about to tell you in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, is a natural outcome of everything that I've just told you in chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Peter's saying, have you tasted that the Lord is good? Do you long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up into salvation? Is that the necessary outflow of you having been born again of imperishable seed? Because you have been given a new life, because all around you, everything else is like grass that withers and fades, like dandelions that blow away when the wind blows. Everything around you perishes and fades. You have been born of imperishable seed to an eternal life. Now do you long for the pure spiritual milk? That's what he's saying. Long for more. Because the unfading word of God has worked a miracle in your heart, long for more of his presence. Because you have been born by the word of God, long for more of the word of God. Peter says, you began your life in the word of God, and so the word of God will sustain your new life. Long for it. Finally, verse 1, Peter says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. What's he saying here? I think Peter is telling us, you are what you eat. Right? You know that's true. If you eat Twinkies, you start to look like one. It's true of your physical body. It's also true of your inner man. It's also true of your inner man. You begin to look like the things that you feed your mind and your heart. I encountered this very acutely a while back. A few years ago, Ozzy Osbourne and his family had a TV show, The Osbournes. Okay, confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation. But anyway, I started watching it, and it would make me laugh, and I'd laugh really, really hard. And I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was just polluted with vulgar language, the whole thing, just polluted with it. And so night after night, I'd watch it and laugh, thinking it was doing no harm to my soul. Until one evening, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I stepped on a very sharp Lego, and the first thing out of my mouth was a swear word. Right? And then later that day, I was driving, and a guy cut me off in traffic, and sure enough, whoosh, there it goes again. You know why? Because I was becoming what I was feeding my mind. You are what you eat. It's true of your physical body. It's true of your inner man as well. So Peter asks us to consider our steady diet. What are you feeding your inner person? He's just told us that the word of God will sustain your new life. But now he's telling us that the word of God will also destroy the very things that are polluting you. This pure spiritual milk that you long for, it will sustain you unto salvation, he says in verse 3. And in verse 1, he says this same spiritual milk has the power to destroy malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Don't think for one moment that these desires, malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, can dwell in the same heart that longs for pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. Don't kid yourself. They can't cohabitate. It's one or the other. You and I have things growing inside of us. We have thoughts and feelings. We have desires. We have ways of interacting with one another. We have ways of processing the events in our life. And if you feed, if you fertilize, if you long for malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, then they will grow. They will grow. If, however, you long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God, if you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and if you long for Him and you long after His Word, like a newborn baby after milk, your life will begin to change from the inside out. Good things will grow in you. Fruits of the Spirit will begin to take root and develop. And you will see, 6 months from now, you'll be different. So Peter says, put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy and envy, all slander. Instead, St. George is like newborn infants, long for the spiritual, pure milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Lord, so often we try to address the issues in our life, beginning with behaviors. And so often your word reminds us that it's not the behaviors that we need to change. It's our longings. It's our desires. And so, Lord, this morning, as we continue in prayer and in praise, I ask that you would grant your people a taste of your goodness. And so birth in our hearts a longing for your pure spiritual milk. Change us from the inside out. Stomp out the malice and the envy and the slander. Make us to hate those things, so that when we see them in our life or in our church, we boldly address them. Change us, O Lord, to the greater glory of your name. Amen.